Good morning, boys and girls. We're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, and it's the verse 31. When I arrived this morning, because it's not my usual morning, a little girl came up and said, "Granda, what are you doing down here today?" I think there was a gentle concern lest Granda was out wandering about and didn't know where he was going or what he was doing. But I'm down today because in order to get our study in Hebrews 11 finished, I have to come down today and then I'll be back again on Monday. On Monday because half of you will be away on Tuesday, which is my usual day, and I don't want to miss half of you. I want you all to hear the final consideration that we will bring to you concerning Hebrews chapter 11, the great chapter of faith. Well, verse 31 says this, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." It's significant, boys and girls, that this final study of an individual in the chapter is a lady. And it has to be noted that in her previous days she was a bad lady, but she was saved. You need to remember this, boys and girls, the worst people will be in heaven. The worst of people. Because there is power in Jesus' blood to wash away our sin. And this lady, Rahab, demonstrates for us the change of heart that she had. The wondrous grace of God that was at work within her very soul, in that it says, she perished not with those that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. It is to be noted that these men, here called spies, were God's servants. They were God's servants. And God's servants today are still looked upon by worldly people as aliens, outsiders, spies, unwelcome. That has ever been the case. But by faith, this woman Rahab sided with them, and in so doing, turned against her former friends, neighbors, fellow citizens in the city of Jericho, because they didn't welcome the spies. And they would have killed the spies had they laid hands upon them. But Rahab, if you read the story, helped hide them and give them safety from those who would have killed them. By doing that, she endangered her own life. She ran the risk of being killed with the spies. That shows the great change there was in this woman, and it was all wrought because of faith that rose up within her being. Let's notice here, first and foremost, about Rahab's faith, that it delivered her from perishing under God's judgment. Listen to me, boys and girls. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish under God's judgment. Now, the reverse of that is very simple. If you do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will perish under God's judgment. That's what God's judgment will bring. An eternal perishing. An eternal perishing. The Lord Jesus said, and his words confirm what I'm saying to you, John chapter 3, the verse 36, the last verse in that chapter 3, that famous chapter 3 of John, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." I remember when I was saved, just after it, seizing upon that little word, "hath," because I was encountering an awful lot of people who would tell me when I told them I had become a Christian and I was saved. They said to me, "You can't be sure. You don't know." And when I read that verse, and others like it, and discovered this little word, "hath," I realized I can be sure. Because the Lord Jesus said something here that didn't contain a maybe or a perhaps. Look at it. "He that believeth on the Son, perhaps, will have everlasting life." No, it doesn't say that. "Maybe will have everlasting life." No, it doesn't say that. That's what the worldly man would have us believe. But the Lord Jesus says, "He that believeth on the Son hath present possession I have everlasting life. And he that believeth not, and here's what I'm stressing, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know what the word abide means? When I come into school, usually I see a lot of movement. Well, the older ones are a bit more sedate, standing in the corner chatting away about all the important things in the world, but there are little ones, and boy, are their feet working. But now, you're not running about. You are abiding in your seat. You're staying in your seat. And that's what this verse tells us about God's wrath. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God abides, rests upon you. And a million years from now, the one who doesn't believe on the Lord Jesus, God's wrath is still abiding on them. 10 million years from now, the wrath of God is still abiding on them. It is the everlasting portion of those who are not saved. Listen to me, that is a terrifying thing, and should drive everyone who's not saved to the Savior, looking for refuge. Well, Rahab had that faith. By faith, she was delivered from perishing. Some lovely verses in Scripture that confirm this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Reconciled to God. The matter that causes a dispute between us and God, our sins, are dealt with by the Lord Jesus, and now we have peace. There's no longer sin between us and God. We have peace. Do you understand that? Again, same book, that was Romans 5 and 1. In Romans 8 and 1 we read, there is therefore now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, no guilt, now. If you have come to Christ, stepped into him as Noah did into the ark, there's no condemnation resting upon you. Do you understand that? Nothing could be plainer. And that's how it was with Rahab. By faith, she stepped into the mercy of God. Believe God's grace and mercy. And she did not perish, as did everyone else in Jericho, under the wrath of God. How did Rahab come by this faith? Did she attend a gospel mission? Did she meet a prophet who told her? Well, not quite. But faith was born in Rahab's heart when she heard the report of what God had done for Israel. You can imagine, and we've looked at this, haven't we, earlier, when God led his people out of Egypt, you know all the miracles that were wrought, the judgments that fell on Egypt, all the plagues, and then finally, on the Passover night, the firstborn of all the families in Egypt died. And then, out they went, under God's leadership, they came to the Red Sea, and it opened up before them. All that was reported, you know. You remember how Joseph came down to Egypt at the first? He was brought there by businessmen, by traders, men who were coming to Egypt with camel loads of spices and all sorts of things. And they would there do business in Egypt and probably load up their camels and start back home again with other items of merchandise. So there was trading, businessmen, travelers coming and going from Egypt. And out of Egypt would go reports of what is taking place. And everywhere these traders stopped for the night, they would say, do you know what happened in Egypt? And so the word spread. And here, 40 years after those events, the word has reached the Canaanites. It's reached Jericho. It's reached Rahab. And she tells us this very clearly. You older ones can look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And she said unto the men, that is the spies, I know, that the Lord hath given you the land, that is the land of Canaan, which included Jericho, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That gives you the mind and the thoughts of Rahab. Here is why she believed. She had heard what God had done. She had heard what God had done. And part of the reports that she heard indicated God's mercy. Oh yes, she heard about the destruction of Sihon and Og and the judgment that fell on them at the hands of Israel, but she heard something else. It says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. She heard of God's mercy for the Jewish people, for the Hebrews. God acted in judgment against his enemies, but he acted in mercy towards the Jewish people. And Rahab was encouraged to believe that if he acted in mercy toward them, he lacked in mercy toward me when I repent of my sin and ask for his grace and for his mercy. She goes on to say, Joshua chapter 2 verses 12 and 13, Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that we have, and deliver our lives from death. What she heard in all the reports of God's dealings prompted her to think, to believe that she could find mercy also. And so she says to the spies, You have mercy on us when you destroy the city. Remember what I did. She was looking to the Lord for salvation to be granted to her by his people. She inclined her ear to the report, and not like so many who would just have taken it as a bit of gossip and gone on and thought nothing about it. She thought about it. She pondered it. She realized what was implied in the reports of what God had done. And she pondered and thought of her need, because God's judgment was coming toward Jericho as Israel approached. They were going to be the instruments God would use to punish the people in Canaan. And it began with Jericho. Isaiah the prophet said this, 55 verse 3, Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Incline your ear. Turn your ear toward what God is saying, and listen and obey. Turn away your ear from what the world is saying, what your old nature is saying, and don't listen to it, but listen to God. And if you do, your soul shall live. Oh, boys and girls, day by day, you are called upon to heed what God said, to give your heart to Christ. The Lord Jesus uttered those wonderful words, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Savior didn't say, Go unto church. He said, Come unto me. A lot of people just go to church. They think that's enough. We're meant to meet with Christ, to go to him personally in order to be saved. John chapter 7, the verse 37 says, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me. If you're not saved, you must come to Christ, and there you will find salvation. The evidence of Rahab's faith is seen in the fact that she treated the spies not as enemies, but as servants of God, those who would help her. I remember being told when I got saved and explained that I was going along to hear Dr. Paisley preach. What are you going to hear him for? That was the reaction. What are you going there for? You shouldn't have anything to do with them. Rahab had it been known by her neighbours that she had welcomed the spies and helped hide them from those who would have killed them, there would have been those who would have asked, what are you doing that for? What are you going and showing kindness to them for? Just the same today. And that's what you'll encounter. If you're not saved and you get saved, you'll run into those who ask you, what are you doing? Why are you going to hear the gospel? Well, the evidence of Rahab's faith was how she received the spies. She received the spies with peace. She didn't receive them as enemies. She received them as friends. There was no hatred in her heart toward these men. She believed them to be servants of God, and it was through them that she was going to get right with God and get saved. These men had a message. These men had a word that would bring her peace, bring her salvation. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, the verse 8, Paul says of these Thessalonians who got saved from you, went out to report the gospel's mercy. And these men, you see, were like the Thessalonians. From them there came words of peace and deliverance, and they were able to assure this woman that when we attack the city, we'll see to it that you are not destroyed. One last thing. As a result of her faith, Rahab entered into the wonderful blessings of God. You don't read of the names of anybody else out of Jericho. But here we are today, thousands of years later, talking about one person who lived in Jericho, Rahab. Because by her faith, she entered into the blessing of God. And that made her a very special person. Do you know that you and I today owe to Rahab wonderful appreciation and thanks? Because it was through Rahab that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Did you know that? If Rahab hadn't done what she did, then I think we can say there would have been no Savior. At the beginning of Matthew, God inspires Matthew to write down the family from which the Lord Jesus came. Trace all the generations of that family. And in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 1, it says, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. So Rahab married, and the man she married was a prince of Judah, a very high member of Israel. In fact, maybe the leader of Israel at that time. And then we read, and Boaz, the son of Rahab, begat Obed of Ruth. Oh, there's another lady that was a Gentile. Wasn't born a Hebrew, wasn't born a Jew, but she was born again and became part of the Israel of God. So the grandson of Rahab was Obed. Then it goes on and it says, Obed begat Jesse. So here's her great-great-grandson, Jesse. And it goes on, and Jesse begat David. So David was the great-great-great-grandson of this woman, Rahab. And we know that the Lord Jesus is called the Son of David. So there is the lineage, I'll use that word, of the Saviour. And it goes right back to Rahab. Isn't it wonderful how God's grace can take a woman who was an evil woman in her earlier years, change her and make her part of the family of Jesus Christ? I'll just close with a quotation from the Saviour. He was preaching one day and the crowd was around him and he was preaching, and a messenger squeezed through the crowd and said, your mother's outside wanting to see you. And the Lord Jesus said, who is my mother? Strange question. And then he answered it. Matthew chapter 12, the verse 48. Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Have you obeyed the gospel? That's the will of our Father in heaven, that you obey the gospel. Have you obeyed? If you have, then the girls here who have done that are the sisters, the mothers of the Lord Jesus. And the boys who have done that, they're the brothers of the Lord Jesus. You're part of his family. Isn't that marvelous? Well, that's what happened to Rahab. She became part of the family of the Lord Jesus. The world doesn't see you as that, but you can quietly rejoice. You belong to the most glorious family on the face of the earth, the family that will inherit heaven and eternal joys and bliss. You are related to the Lord Jesus. If you believe the gospel, you have been born again. Are you born again? Please, are you born again? Or are you an outsider still? You're not related to Christ. You rejected him. May you see the folly of your position this morning. Well, we're nearly at the end of our study. There's quite a wee bit of Hebrews 11 left, but it's a concluding portion. And we'll look at that in the will of the Lord on Monday. Let's bow in prayer. I pray, Lord, that you will challenge hearts here today. I may try to do it, Lord. I may strive to do it, Lord. But I can't stir thoughts, move hearts. But Lord, thou art able to do it. Even as you did with Rahab, Lord, you caused the reports that were circulating throughout that whole territory. Reports of what you did in bringing Israel out of Egypt. But Lord, it had an impact on her that it didn't have on the others that heard it. She saw God's mercy and saw in him hope for her soul and deliverance from judgment. Please, Lord, awaken hearts here that have yet to be awakened to the truth of the gospel. Bless the school, be with teachers, pupils, aye, and parents today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.